The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Night, January the 7th, 2015, and we are here, and I am hailing from the big city of Detroit, Motown, the Motor City, Detroit. So, I want to welcome you in. Please call in and share your thoughts with us tonight as we have our Black Butter Love Show. So we're talking about love and relationships. No more drama, no more games. Stop playing all those games with people and go on and get yourself a good mate so we can build this Black nation. So that's what's up. And we have our hot topics tonight. Let me welcome in Mother Zola and Delta Kuka.
Namaste, namaste.
Namaste.
Hello.
Namaste. I'm putting my hands in the palms.
Namaste means the God in me honors the God in you. Simply that. And yes. it's a show of respect. It's a show of respect from one person to the other. You use it in greeting, and you also use it in farewell.
Oh, yes. Yes, namaste. All right.
Namaste.
Yes. So, I want to just give a quick hot topic. Do we have Delta on the line?
I don't see her number popping up yet.
She'll be calling in. I just got off the phone with her. But I just want to give, I'm here in Michigan, and I want to put this out there on the table. I am going to travel over to Flint. I'm sure people have been hearing about what's going on in Flint, Michigan, with the lead in the water, supporting the children and the people, and the animals.
And pets, yes.
And the pets have been poisoned by lead water. And Governor Snyder, who needs to be indicted, who needs to be removed, forget a recall, just remove him, just he needs to leave, just resign, get out of office, not to go.
Boot him.
Yeah, just go. Just forget all the process, because these people, they don't go through a process. They just do whatever. So let's forget the process. These people believe in, then they try to apologize later. So, enough of that. We've gone through that. So the people in Flint, Michigan, which Flint, Michigan, 40% of the population is impoverished, probably over 40%.
That's terrible.
Flint was a great city, manufacturing city like Detroit.
Right.
And it's been faced with so many challenges. I recall Michael Moore. I can't think of the name of that film. But one of his earlier films when he actually
I remember that.
And he highlighted a particular story about the young lady. She was having to catch a bus, like I think like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. to go and work like maybe 2 hours away or something, making up still minimum wage. And
right.
So her son had to go, I think he had to go and stay with her brother. So it was the little boy's uncle. I'm almost certain that was the case. This was years ago. I think this has been like over 10 years. But, and so the little boy found his uncle's gun. And I think the little boy shot himself. I think he shot himself. Ooh, wait a minute. Let me see here. In just a second, people. Okay. So the little boy shot him. I believe he shot himself. I'll try to pull the story up. But, so Flint has been suffering from many tragedies. If you can imagine people in Detroit that were working for Chrysler and GM and all of these places, making good money, you know, back in the day in the 60s and 70s, you know, making
right.
$20-something an hour, and then you go
right.
from $20-something an hour to nothing,
yeah.
to nothing. I mean, and all the jobs are taken away, and
yeah.
here in Detroit, I tell you, I've been driving around in Detroit, all over the city just about, and to see some of the homes, you can see the structure of the homes, you can tell that these homes are well built, they're brick homes, spacious homes, brick packed houses, just gorgeous homes, just huge spacious homes, and they're just all dilapidated and run down, and it just looks terrible. It is so heart-wrenching to just imagine what these people experience in terms of like having to lose their jobs, their homes, uproot families. Where did they go? What happened? You know, I think about that, and it's terribly sad. So that's just happening all over, not all over Michigan. Of course, the affluent areas are still doing a little bit better, but of course, our black and brown population and poor white people. No, nobody cares about poor white people either. And so they're suffering.
Yeah.
So it's happening.
And that leads to emotional problems too. Depression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just imagine you go from making, say, $175,000 a year to nothing. Because these people were making like $175,000 a year.
Wow.
Working at these manufacturing plants, some of them. Because they were hourly, but they were working a lot of overtime.
So sure were, yeah.
Extremely, extremely good money. And to all of a sudden go from that to nothing, that's enough to make anybody want to just lose their mind. I know in Flint, a lot of people, you know, resorted to drug uses. And, you know, that it's an escapism. And I don't blame them because, hell, I would want to escape from all of this. If I had to deal with that, you know. So, I
to help you get through the day.
Hell, yeah. So, I want to give out the Lotus Place Radio Show's Gmail account, PayPal account, so that people can donate some money so that I can get some cases of water. I have a friend that's a truck driver, and they're going to help me deliver the waters and a few other people that are here.
Canty's on the line, by the way.
Oh, did you open up Canty's line, King B? Did you open up his mic?
Yeah. It's open now.
King B?
How's everybody doing? Hey.
Hi, King B.
You hit the nail on the head very most accurately, Black Rose. Understand this. Poor whites tend to join forces that go against their interests. That's why Trump is getting these white folks who's like he's like a magnet to them. They don't care to know that he has not contributed one dime to the tragedy along with the floods in Missouri. And parts thereof, alongside the banks of the Mississippi. He's a multi-billionaire. He hasn't given out one dime. And the very idea that poor whites tend to vote against their best interest if it means keeping blacks down. They always feel that if they can keep blacks down, they can get over the hump a little better.
Uh-huh.
Always this false glimmer of security that we are their holdback. So you know they're angry with the man in the White House, who's not the butler, the chauffeur, or the cook, but is the chief executive, and they're not doing well at all. They are frightful of their conditions. They're seeing their future brought to a screeching halt. And, you know, white folks have, as I said, that word, propensity to follow lynch mob and mob rule. Mm-hmm. So and blacks are the least of the preparedness ethnic group to be prepared for an imminent race war. I keep trying to tell people who will listen that when Obama leaves office, he got us in a real fix, that we're in a coma now, a serious coma. Don't understand that when President Obama leaves office, there will be an imminent race war. Just like it happened in the days when we lost our Reconstruction rights, just like it happened in the days when it was the Irish draft riots, black people, especially during the Reconstruction, when Martin Delaney tried to warn them, one black said the government was going to ran by Republicans was going to take it away from us to appease the South to prevent a second Civil War. Here you've got a white boy who's the governor of Michigan, didn't have the tenacity to tell the people, I won't blame anybody else. I'll take the blame and face what's coming to me. No, he's going to announce it. There's now a fall guy who took the orders from the governor, who worked at the pleasure of the governor, and divert the water from Detroit to the waters of Flint, not even bothering to check to see if the water was palpable for people to drink. And look how long it took before they came to stopping the water and going back to Detroit water. And it wouldn't have cost, how much would it have cost Black Rose?
$100 a day.
Imagine that.
To maintain the water supply.
Pure water. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's pennies. That's nothing.
Yes. Yeah, compared to what the parents are spending now for their child who's got brain damage, who will never be able to function in the future.
And they could have passed that on. They could have passed that on.
You have a Nazi mentality for a governor. You guys, black. And who was that black woman standing with the governor when he apologized? I like to find out who she is because she looked like she had constipation and couldn't really want to stand there because she was in such pain from needing to go to the bathroom. She looked like she was in great pain. Anybody know who she was or is?
No.
No.
So she stands with the governor of Snyder as he gave his BS apology. And it's just horrendous. He's Uncle Tom, even with this Uncle Tom standing with the DA in Baltimore. The DA in Cleveland. It was a brother, light-skinned brother, standing with the governor. He looked like he wanted to go to the bathroom. You know, strained eyes, you know, looking all like he wished he was in another location. But Uncle Tom's from an Aunt Mama is so amazing with it. Eager to appease their master to get a few bills, a few dollars more than the average black person, but they can care less about the suffering that they co-sign to take down their own people and to cure a fig. So this governor, I hope in God there'll be enough heat on his behind to take him down because Reverend Edward Pinckney, he's languishing in jail 500 miles from Benton Harbor, being harassed by a sadistic guard, I understand, who wants him to go for a demo so that he could either get his brains blown out or beaten to a pulp and then thrown into solitary. But Reverend Pinckney is so far holding out and taking the abuse. But I tell you, folks, fascism is in the air. And unfortunately, for our people, we are the least to be informed about what is about to take place.
Thanks, Candy, for that update. Bill, do you have some hot topics for us?
Yes, I was trying.
Oh, I'm sorry, Black Rose. Can you finish what you were saying about the water deal?
In just a second, I'm around a little noise right now, so I need to go on mute.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm definitely going to go ahead on. And I'll pick back up on that.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Hi.
Deborah, you're on. Hi. Namaste.
That's good. Hi. Body doing tonight?
Great.
Well, we got some great hot topics tonight.
All right, let us have them.
Okay. We got a police officer out of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Derek can hear you.
You went low. Speak louder, Derek.
Okay, we have a police chief out of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
He raped a 14-year-old girl. The police chief.
Chief!
He was found guilty. Found guilty, hear me out. He was found guilty. And this is the saddest part of all. He was found guilty for raping a 14-year-old child. He was sentenced to 1 year in jail.
1 year?
And you, 14 years old, found guilty, sentenced to 1 year in jail. Then you hadn't even heard the rest, the most horrible insult. The family is so devastated because the chief of police, different people wrote letters and talking about how good he's done for the community and different things, and putting him in jail wouldn't profit him nothing. Just make it worse.
Wow.
They suspended the man's sentence.
Oh, no.
And gave him probation and house arrest.
For
raping a 14-year-old girl, chief of police.
So this was the white police, I'm almost certain, right? You know he was the white devil.
And so one thing about that I have to say is, because it's horrible that happened with that young girl, but one thing that Black people need to wake up and realize is, I think Canty touched on it, white folks stick together. So
they sure do.
They stuck together. They rallied no matter what, because they've been raping Black women for a long time.
Okay. Centuries.
And let me just jump in and say this quickly too. This is how I feel about this whole Bill Cosby thing. Now, remember Ida B. Wells said, that's the number one threat-bearing lie that they always say. Well, a Black man raped me. And we know that most of the women that came out and said that Bill Cosby raped them, and they don't have any evidence, no video, no recording, no nothing. And come to find out, what was it? Really, Bill Cosby gave the girl like Benadryl or something like that. But anyway, my point is this, and I'm not condoning any rape, but my point is this. You want to come and get at Bill Cosby, and I'm not taking up Bill Cosby because I think he talks real greasy about Black people. But you want to come get at Bill Cosby about some rape, get at all of these people that have raped our mothers, aunts, and sisters for centuries and centuries and centuries. No justice whatsoever for all of the women that were raped by slave masters' children. The African American in and of itself is a product of rape. So
right. We
want to sit here and come down on Bill Cosby and all of this on these racing. God knows what really happened, but I'm concerned about the fact that why are you trying to bring so much justice to these women? And this is speculative, but we know that these slave masters and white people continue to rape Black women. Think about what was that rich man, Canty? He was some French official. Raped that maid in the room. And it's
DSK.
To really prove and prosecute that.
Yeah, DSK.
Yeah.
And every time Air France know that he's going to be on any of their flights, they make sure they have an all-male flight crew because he is heavy with his hands if they're female flight crews.
What?
And the sad thing about how the media handled that case, if she lied about him attacking her, then why wasn't she charged like Tawana Brawley also wasn't charged? And yet they said Tawana Brawley lied, and they never charged her. That's 5 years in jail. It's called falsifying a police report.
Uh-huh.
You ever heard about that woman from Guinea?
Right.
You never heard of that woman?
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, she was paid money that she never see in her lifetime again.
I was just
again.
About to say that. You know,
yeah, he was going to run for the presidency of France, but the scandal put a termination on that track. But how about that police officer in New Orleans? He was convicted for raping 6 black women. Man, I saw him crying. I don't know how much time he's got. But this is horrendous, and there's enough blacks in Cincinnati to raise. I don't know what it is with our people. We get to the point where it's like the drinking water, or we're afraid like that. Those blacks in Minnesota, because they bulldozed their tents and beat up a few of them in front of the police station. They were camped out in front of the police station, shooting that young man in the back while he was handcuffed. Did you hear anything more? You guys hear anything more from the blacks in Minnesota, Minneapolis?
No.
I haven't heard anything. No, I hadn't heard nothing. Mother Hattie, are you on? Yes. Yeah, oh, well, I am. She may know. Maybe Sarah might have heard something. I hadn't heard nothing on the news about it. There's still some things going on. There was last week. It was some protesting going on. Even though you don't hear about it on the news, you know how it is with the news media. They're not going to tell you what's really going on in a lot of these places. You know, and especially like Minnesota is really kind of noted for, we did some happy Negroes here in Minnesota. We love our boss and we got all this integration going on. And so that's a lot of always going to be that suppression around that. So yes, just there are some things still going on in Minnesota. Just last week, there was they went to the Black Lives Matter, NAACP, marched again. So yes, it's still live. And then there are a lot of talks and things like that going on as well in terms of what's going to be happening. And what people are going to be doing. I went to an NAACP meeting last Tuesday. And so, yes, it's really quite alive here. It's really livelier than it's ever been that I've seen in a long, long time under the leadership of this lady
here. That's all well and good, but it still remains a problem of these so-called leaders formulating an economic boycott. It seems as if they will get mad for a hot minute, maybe for an hour, and then they'll still spend their money in stores that need to be, the city of Minneapolis need to be brought down to its knees. Same thing in Baltimore, same thing in Cleveland. 12-year-old boy shot, no tears from the president, but he got tears for a white kid that was shot in Connecticut. But he had no tears for a 12-year-old boy. The DA supposed to be impeached for breaking his oath as a DA. The DA supposed to be an advocate for the victim of a crime. And he believes he's got a case to present to the grand jury. He's not supposed to give a leg up to the defendant. He's supposed to have his trial with a lawyer to prove that his crime is innocent. But the way this DA operated, he brought an expert and quote, expert witnesses to prove that this boy was not deliberately shot. It wasn't the intent to shoot to kill. But no one never asked the DA, well, how come there's no record that the cop told the boy, son, throw us your hands, drop the gun, son. No, This cop drove up, who drove the car, he also had a bad record also, but he drove up on the scene, right up crossing the bus to Mill, and then the cop who was with the shooting, he runs out the car and commits firing less than a second out of the car.
Right.
So the thing is about it, the DA did not have no intention of bringing these cops to justice to get an indictment. It was to get an acquittal, and he was supposed to have been impeached, but this who's representing the family, I believe it's one of Crump's disciples, but Crump is in the picture representing the family of Sandra Bland. I believe I saw Crump between the Sandra Bland or the Camille Rice, but you know, we got these social parasites all around us, but there are very few, if any, social engineers. Now, the lawyer, who I believe is going to be a sterling Jew, like his father was, Chuck Winnebuma Jr. He is, I believe, the one I saw. That's where I'm saying that. He is representing the case of Sandra Bland family. And Trump, I know I've seen him in Cleveland for Tamir Rice family. So I don't know how many of these lawyers will. Crump is the president of the Black Bar Association, right?
Oh, he is.
And they never had the gumption or the spine to take the state of Louisiana to court for holding black men in captivity in a prison farm called Angola Prison Farm. During slavery, it was the largest slave plantation in Louisiana. Now that it's supposedly abolished, you have now the largest prison farm. And when you die, your family can't take you off the prison farm and bury you where they want you to be buried. You are buried on the ground of the prison farm. So even
right.
with death, you get no respect.
Right. Right.
And so between that issue with the prison farm in Angola, Louisiana, situation in Cleveland, situation in Baltimore. I mean, it's all over the place. And I heard there was a lynching in Douglas County, Georgia, about 2 weeks ago. And the blacks down there, they're so petrified, they dare not even give a whimper, not even a glare that they're angry. This is a young black man lynched in a place called Douglas County. I got someone who was in Atlanta. She said that they haven't heard anything. I told them the reason why, because those blacks in that county are petrified. They do not do anything. They don't do anything because the white folks go, "Oh, you don't like it, boy? You want to say something?
Get you too.
Against it, boy? Well, we're going to make an example of you, boy. Come here, Negro. Let's say now, you want a choice of rope, cotton, or silk?"
We have our next hot topic, if you don't mind, Cancer.
Go ahead.
This one's coming out of, let me see where this one's coming from. This one is coming out of Pennsylvania. There was a mother and father had a wife, I must say, had a 7-month-old baby in the hospital, and the baby was really sick. The mother and father was in the room with the baby. The nurse walked into the room, find the father OD, and find the mother laying on the floor dead they were shooting heroin at the hospital in the room.
With the baby?
The 7-month-old baby. The 7-month-old baby was in the hospital, sick. And I bet you the 7-month-old baby was probably due to heroin, having problems with heroin. Because they said the mother and the father shot heroin in the room, in the hospital room. The nurse walks in, find the mother on the floor dead from shooting heroin. The father laying on the floor with an overdose. He was in intensive care in the hospital. Now you ain't heard nothing.
Where was it?
I said Pennsylvania, but I didn't mean to say Pennsylvania. That's my next story. This was in Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
This one was in Cincinnati.
And
7 months. But you not, hadn't heard nothing on the
hadn't
news?
Heard nothing. And I bet you they were both
nothing
white.
Nothing on the news.
I bet you they were both white.
Got this horse killer. And see,
we need to take a break, Black Rose. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Black Rose, are you on?
I don't think she is. Oh,
okay. Well, go ahead, Delta.
Okay,
you know
but
what?
You hadn't heard anything on the news. Think about it now.
No.
Now, you know, if this had been a black family,
oh yeah,
it'd be all over the news, just like just like the Clyde Bundy. You ain't heard nothing on the news about them going up there talking about shooting and taking them out of there. But if that had been black men just walking, they'd have been dead by now. Every last one of them would be shot and killed. Okay, then we have another story. We have a billionaire now. He had been raping his 12-year-old stepdaughter. They gave him so many years in prison. He used the what do you call it? He's an heir from Johnson & Johnson product.
Did he use the affluenza excuse?
Yes, he used the affluenza excuse, and he has the last name of Johnson & Johnson. He's a what you call him when they inherit all this money from Johnson & Johnson products? He's one of the inheritors. One of the heirs. He had been raping his 12-year-old stepdaughter. And the girl told her mother, at least her mother had sense enough, even though she was in all that money, to do something about it. The mother filed for a divorce and took him to court and had him arrested. He used affluenza, and he got off. They put him on probation and giving him treatment. He admitted he did it. He admitted it now. And said that he needed treatment, and they giving him treatment. Then another thing I found out on the same article, the affluenza young man in Texas that killed the 4 people. Remember, everybody was saying that his family put him in this big expensive resort place, facility. Also, when the family put him there, the family filed some type of papers, and the state paid for the majority of his care. That is correct. I'm going to send y'all the article. I'll text it to you.
The state paid
for almost all of his treatment in that facility.
That's Paul Moody said.
Somebody found out about it and linked it to the newspaper.
As Paul Mooney says, right complexion with a connection.
And then here's another billionaire. Now, I never heard of this one now. This one's name is Robert Richmond. He's a billionaire. Okay? He started raping his own daughter. His daughter was 3 3 to 5. He raped her all the way from 3 to 5.
Jeez.
Then he turned around. He raped his 8-year-old son.
Son?
Oh, no.
Then they turn around. They gave him so many years in prison. The judge suspended it because they said he was too rich. He used the affluential theory.
Affluential?
So uh-huh. So this is where I got these articles from. And I'll send them to you, Kathy, and everybody that's online. And what they said is, a lady found out, a white reporter found out that this wasn't the first time this had been used. A white man wrote a book called After Windsor, whatever you call it. And the people, the rich people, have used this defense. And this is why I'm quoting all these news articles about molestations and different things. It's because the rich folk use After Windsor. This have not been the first time that this have been brought up. It just so happened the young white boy got more attention because he killed 4 people. But the rich people have been using this excuse. The Johnson & Johnson man used it. And this Robert Richard, he used it. Okay, this is my last hot topic, and then we'll go back. We have a school teacher who was 44, shooting a 16-year-old boy. The boy was having problems. The mother reached out to the teacher and asked the teacher to help tutor her son. The mother brought her son over to be tutored. Now, you know they're white and they stupid as the devil. She brought her son over to be tutored. Now, if you're going to be tutored, why do you need to go walk a dog? Do that make any sense? To go walk a dog and you brought your son over to be tutored and the mother sitting downstairs waiting for her son after the teacher and the young man come back from walking the dog and she's supposed to be tutoring the young man. The mother walked upstairs and kicked the teacher in bed with her son having sex. That teacher. White woman. You know she white. So now the mother is trying to sue the teacher. And the teacher have been arrested. And now the mother is trying to sue. But the mother is stupid anyway. And excuse my friend. People, the mother's stupid because you ain't had no business taking your son over there, and then you already knew that was a bad sign anyway. When she said she wanted your son to help her walk the dog, you brought your son over to be tutored. But you know what?
Lord,
he was walking the dog. He was walking it right up inside of her, and that's what he did. And so she was stupid. The mother was stupid.
Sure.
So now the mother is trying to sue the teacher. Those are my hot topics for the night.
Yeah, she wants money that she'll never see in her lifetime again. Knowing that she was very, like I said, stupid for being that naive to believe that that was all a legit thing to walk a dog, help her walk a dog.
I don't understand. What was the mom when they were walking the dog? Were they at the teacher's house or was the mom at home?
Listen, that's what I'm telling you. The mother was so stupid. The mother sitting, she brought the boy to be tutored. She paying for the boy to be tutored. The mother is sitting downstairs and the teacher's supposed to have been tutoring the young man. The teacher walks down and tells the mother that her and the boy is gonna take the dog for a walk. Now,
okay,
the mother, that should have raised the red flag right there. I'm paying you. You ain't got no business walking no dog. So the mother's sitting down on the couch, and I guess they tucked too long. And the mother walks upstairs. She walks upstairs and catch the teacher and her son in bed having sex.
But how did they get past her when they were supposed to be outside walking the dog?
That's what I don't know. That's just
what the article say now. I don't know.
Sounds
how
like
got past her. They just
sounds
what
like
the article
mother is, the mother. Sorry, the mother is a bit retarded, and or she might be a Mrs. Magoo. She can't see that well. But the idea that she realized the time was a bit lapsed.
Or maybe they came in through the back door while the mother was sitting there.
Oh, he came in the back door, right?
You got that right, Canty. You got that right.
But it's exhaustible.
Now she's trying to sue, and it just don't make no sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she
you
just wants some money.
That out.
She wants some money where she can get her Mercedes Benz. Get some home improvement down in our house. Mega bucks she's going to get from that teacher. Well, she's going to draw some mega bucks. But any good lawyer would understand for representing the city. If she tells a mother that she's going outside with her son to walk her dog, mother's supposed to set red flag down. Hell to the no. You ain't walking my son nowhere. I'm paying you to tutor my son. Not help you walk a dog, bitch. Excuse me, y'all. And to get the hell out of there. But for her to sit downstairs while her son is upstairs tuning her organ, tuning the teacher's organ, it's just a horrendous situation. But this story about this police chief getting letters sent to the prosecutor's office so that he can get a lesser sentencing where he gets to have a house arrest rather than be in jail for a year for raping a 14-year-old girl.
A 14-year-old girl.
He admitted he did it and claimed
he was going through some issues.
What won't you hear?
But you know what? This is what I'm saying. They use a defense called Alpha Windsor. Can black boys need to start using the offense? I was so poor. I've been so damaged and abused for oppression.
Post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Yeah, how can I, how, you know.
I got news for you. We keep forgetting. When they say nigger, it means that we are subhuman and they never saw us as a human being. We're the only ethnic group that is defamed in the Constitution as being 3/5. And all these highfalutin blacks, including the members of the Congressional Black Caucus, never had the desire, the spine, the foresight to have that abolished in the Constitution where it says that black people are 3/5. In the eyes of most whites, they see black people as subhuman. So,
but we can't see ourselves as that. We have to stand up and just present. We can't perceive ourselves as that.
My dear, it sounds good, but we have been so badly beaten down, we don't even know what is the proper thing to do when you know that they see us as subhuman, and all this time we have been accepting it. You know, they are blacks that don't even know that it says in the Constitution still that we are 3/5. They are blacks that don't even know that it says that. And you see, Charlie Austin Mack always says, white people speak bilingual. Legalese and military science. Legalese is natural law. White people believe in natural law. Black people do not. And military science is targeted. Are Blackstone's targeted race of people? Can't even get a prison farm closed down after all these years. You got a black man in the White House, the first black president of the United States. What was it saying? And he came and get him to pardon Jack Johnson, Mark Lazarvi, let alone to think about offending states' rights and telling Louisiana, you're out of here with this prison farm. Just like he could take and make an executive order to deal with this gun violence. You mean to tell me he didn't cross his mind to ever think about using executive order to close down a prison farm that is unjust and illegal, when you got black men who are poor, too poor to afford a decent attorney, and when you die, you are not allowed to be buried elsewhere where your parents, where your family wants you to be buried. You're buried on the grounds of the prison farm. All these years, listen, Congressional Black Caucus hasn't had the spine, the gumption, the foresight to see that that would be one of their major feats, to close down and go to prison for them, and to have those inmates compensated, knowing full well they didn't get proper legal representation.
Canty.
One? Yes.
This is Brother Scotty. Greetings to everyone on the line. Greetings, ladies.
Greetings, Scotty. Namaste.
The three-fifths clause has been repealed from the Constitution.
Good.
Yes, Section 2 of the 14th Amendment, which was ratified in 1868, effectively repealed that. Because what the three-fifths compromise had to do with was whether or not enslaved Africans would be counted in the census to determine how many seats or representatives would be apportioned from a state. Now, it is in a still in effect, and I'm going to tell you how it's still in effect, is because of slavery. See, a lot of people, you say a lot of people don't know this and that, it's in the Constitution. Well, the 13th Amendment never abolished slavery. It has an exception clause. And the exception clause said that you can be put into slavery and voluntary servitude as punishment for crime once you've been convicted in a court. Now, to bring it back to the three-fifths clause, though. Now, this is how black people are being counted in the census, but they're not being apportioned any representation or any resources delegated to, you know, those communities based on the census. They count all the prisoners, a.k.a. modern-day slaves. They count them in the census. And they're counted as residents of the counties that they are, the prison is in. So then they are being counted as citizens in that county. Uh-huh. And these are predominantly white counties where the prisons are. Uh-huh. So they get seats apportioned to them based on, you know, in adding in our people that's in prison. Because we know black folks, are predominantly disproportionately represented in prison. And then also when they delegate resources to the areas based on the census, well, again, you've taken all these people out of the black community through your so-called drug war, and you put them in the quote-unquote white community, but on a prison plantation. Mm-hmm. These people are devilish, man. They are very deceptive, and it is why we must read.
They're getting all that extra funds, all those extra funds, and yet these people can't vote.
Right.
Yeah. You see, we had a former governor here in New York named Mario Cuomo. When he became governor of New York State, the major corporations was folding up upstate New York. He panicked. Money that was earmarked to build housing downstate for poor people and working people, poor people. He diverted that money and built the most prisons in all the history of the governors of the state of New York. Now you got all these inmates coming from downstate, going upstate, and like you said, my brother, they're counting the inmates with the census of that town that they're in, and these inmates are not being prepared for the real world when they come out of jail. They're coming out of jail with their mind not right, coming out as like defective products. And they hate themselves, they hate the society. And, hey, a white man was just let out of jail. In 1 week time, he committed a crime that was a robbery. He beat up someone, but he was only out of jail for a week. But this right here in New York. But what I'm saying is that you have no black congressional representative, as well as the Congressional Black Caucus as a body. All right, fine. It's not said in the Constitution anymore that we are three-fifths. but they still call it a civil rights bill. I mean, a civil rights act, not a bill. So rather than it be a bill, which would be perpetual, they call it an act. And every 25 years, it has to be renewed by the Congress, which is predominantly white Republicans. We have no one to fend for us to show that if you are considered a human being, it's been abolished in the Constitution and it says they're three fifths, then why the hell do we call it a human rights bill instead of a civil rights bill? And the idea that why do you have to have a special section to deal with us as being supposedly citizens, when if you are a human being and you are a citizen of this country, you automatically have civil rights. And that's just what Brother Malcolm said. But we didn't listen to Malcolm, and we certainly didn't listen to Marcus Garvey. But they, Garvey said it all. He said, do not become a surplus race of people. And he also said, a race of people that have to depend on another ethnic group for their own economic constraint shall soon perish. So we didn't listen to Garvey, didn't listen to Malcolm. And we will listen to the white man because Richard Pryor said it all. He said, the white man said so, must be true. So if whenever they come out with their lies about dealing with our crisis, because one thing, the late Dr. Bill Jones even said, white man can rationalize everything except race. They just cannot get around to talking about the racism in America. And unfortunately, these blacks in high places, they go along the flow because they're part of the boule, part of the trusted Negroes that don't want to lose their title, where they're happy being prominent, but not powerful. Now, I always say, give me the powerful part. I don't care about being prominent, because prominent can't do nothing except for how you ingratiate yourself to get your few pennies to live large, but your people are hurting. We are worse off now. Maybe when Dr. King was amongst us, birthday is coming up in a few weeks. Now, these black pastors, they greatly will recognize Dr. King's birthday. But come April 4th, not one. You tell me you all on April 4th, a black pastor going to honor Dr. King's assassination. You tell me one. And all, Dr. King's been dead since 1968, and we have regressed so bad. Got a black man in the White House. Are we better off now with Obama in the White House? I read where United Healthcare is going bankrupt by 2017. It might be going under, filed for bankruptcy. But United Healthcare, which is a healthcare in this region, but there are other health insurance that are going broke because you see people are paying more for co-payments. Because it's subsidizing for those people who cannot afford to pay for their insurance. And see, the pharmaceutical industry is getting over like a fat rat. The doctors getting over like a fat rat. It's all the hospitals. So, you know, we have leadership that are misleaders. And we have pastors in the pulpit that are calling them all the time.
But Kenty, I want to ask a question. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I got to jump in. I want to ask you a question. Now, Kenty, I think we should subsidize the ones who are able to subsidize for the less fortunate ones. I think we should. Okay, United States claim to be the most greatest nation up on the earth. Want to jump up and rule and try to tell everybody else what to do. But you don't even have health care for your people. There you got Mexico, one of the poorest countries it is. They got health care. People down there don't even pay for health care. You got Cuba who got health care for all nations. Yep. If you want to become a doctor, you go to Cuba. You can go to school and don't even have to pay for it. You got other countries overseas. They have health care for their people. Why United States can't have health care? That's a scapegoat.
Yeah, but see, anytime you are living in a capitalist system, it is always Don't forget this now. Don't forget this. It is always maximum profit, minimum investment.
Exactly.
They care a fig about the suffering poor. Jesus Christ even said, the poor will always be with us. But he also said, and most pastors don't want to preach on this passage of scripture, where he says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why did Christ say that? Because the rich man never wants to pay his fair share to help those that are less fortunate. He always wants to be like a leech. He gets rich off of poor. So you get the poor who, this president that we have in the White House right now, he was not about to have a single payer plan, which would include everybody be insured. There would be no one left out in the cold to get medical attention. So a single payer plan, he was supposed to have imported drugs like for sugar, for high blood pressure, things like that that would cut down the expensive pharmaceutical industries getting over like fat rats. Okay, you have to understand that this president does not want to have someone else give away his daughters in marriage. So he does what he can, but does do anything to offend the big corporations, the big insurance companies that wrote the insurance plan, the medical insurance plan. So how the hell are we going to have a country that would have people that are suffering from various illnesses that requires a long-term treatment because of their long time being denied proper health care? We got hospitals. This woman who died, I think it was in Florida, she kept telling the police officer she can't breathe, and he's telling her, "Oh, you're faking it. I don't want to hear this." And put her out in the outside the hospital, and she collapsed. When they finally realized what happened to her, she had a blood clot on her lung. But he was telling her, "Oh, you fake it. We're going to put you out. We're going to put you out of the hospital." That's all in the news. But what I'm saying is that our people never had political or legal protection. From the best times of our best times in this country was during the Reconstruction period. When we lost our Reconstruction rights, we never had it so bad. We never recovered from the loss of our Reconstruction rights.
Well, guys, we've got to get ready to go into the break and for the 10 o'clock break. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about our subject, which is relationships, because this is Friday, Hot Butter Love. So, Delta, was that your last hot topic for us?
Yep, those are all my hot topics for tonight.
Wonderful. Very good, Delta.
Okay,
very
great.
Good.
Thanks for keeping us up to date. We didn't know. I hadn't heard any of that.
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm going to send everybody the link to this article this lady wrote, and this is not the first time that this has been used. She said this, a man wrote a book, and this is where the rich upper class white people is getting this playbook out the book to use in court.
Yep. They hear about it, that's what they're going to use. There's a lot of them out there with money.
Affluenza.
They can do anything they want, just use that.
That's it. And the media will say, okay.
Yeah,
and we got our letters to do.
Right, okay. All right. Well, when we come back, I'm going to do the mind, body, and spirit segment. And then, let's see. I'm not sure where, if Black Rose has your letter, because I don't have it. If she doesn't come with your letter right away, we're going to go ahead and start talking about the relationships, and we'll get started with that. I'm here. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we need to talk about our relationships. No more drama, no more games. Oh, but can I give one quick, I do need to give an update. I'm not sure if it was mentioned because I had to step away for a second. The cop in Senia who pulled Sandra Bland over, you know, he was indicted, he was arrested and indicted and arrested this past week. But he was only indicted for, let me see, it was just a small charge. Of course, they didn't indict him for
for a misdemeanor. He was indicted for a misdemeanor.
So he'll
and
get
he
off.
Fired.
Yeah. Oh, but he'll just probably be absorbed by the next county. So we know how that works because that's what happened.
Oh, yeah. Firing means nothing with them.
Right. That's what happened with several
shut the mill rights. Exactly.
Lowman.
A town called Independence.
Right. And then also another quick update. Strangely enough, all the cops that surrounded Eric Garner and choked him out, the primary one, Pantelio, who choked Eric Garner, he was not indicted. But guess who was indicted? The black lady. They invited the black lady who supervised the killing. But see, all of them should have been indicted. Her, Pantelio, and the people that approached him. Yes. So they indicted the black lady. I believe her name is Kizzy King or something. She needs to be indicted too because she supervised them killing her. She stood right there as if she was
and
saying,
also
choke them harder.
The EMS workers, they stood by and they swore an oath like a doctor to uphold a Hippocratic oath to help the suffering from dying.
Right.
They heard the man say 11 times, I can't breathe.
Absolutely. Yeah. So everybody on that sidewalk needs to be indicted.
Eric Garner was not breaking the law. He wasn't telling the Lucy. He had just broke up a fight. I mean, he was a peacemaker.
And he was an activist, just like Sandra Bland, just like Betty Jones that they shot in Chicago, shot her through the door. She was an activist. So we got to be really careful, people. We got to be really careful because these people are identifying activists and they're attacking them and they're covering it up with I just pulled her over because she didn't put her turn signal on. Oh, he's selling loose cigarettes. And I tell you, there's stores right in my neighborhood. I see the people coming up buying loose cigarettes. So you have people selling, you allow certain people to sell loose cigarettes and then individuals, they can't. You'll choke them out and kill them.
Especially when I know you. The cop, Pantaleo, knew who Eric Garner. They've had confrontations before with each other. But when Eric Garner said his last thing, he said, today it stops. I've been pulling that mess before. Today it
ends. And do not touch me again.
That's what he said.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Did we lose then, everybody? Hello?
We're back. Okay, so let's jump into our topic for tonight. Black Butter Love Show, no more drama and no more games. I think Aja has something to present for us on the topic.
Well, may I do my mind, body, and spirit first so we can get that out of the way?
Okay.
All right. We're in the shift right now, and we have to be armed for the war. Not just the one that's in the streets that Cantor was talking about, but the spiritual war. With our mind, body, and our spirits tuned and ready. And so, because they all three work together, we have to be physically ready, we have to be mentally ready, and spiritually ready. Like King B was saying, we're not ready, we're not together. They all affect each other. And so here at Lotus Place, this segment offers tips and information about how we can approach these areas, how we can get it out to our listening audience, how we need to get it together, all three of these areas, and be ready for this fight that's ahead of us. So tonight I wanted to focus on our consciousness. So here's a quote. Ours is an excessively conscious age. We know so much, yet we feel so little. This is the time of I know, the age of Aquarius. The shift has revealed many who have become, quote unquote, conscious, who at the same time have become so absorbed with the newfound knowledge and awareness of certain realities that we have lost compassion for our fellow man and our fellow woman. I know this, I know that. So wrapped up into what we now know that we have forgotten to care. Part of being conscious is realizing that everyone is at their own level of consciousness. There's no judgment. The two C's work together. For without compassion, we are doomed. We've got to care about each other. No matter how much we know, if we don't have any compassion, we're doomed. To know, to feel, to have, to be enlightened, more than just consciousness, but to be enlightened. So let's put them together and have the best New Year, not just a happy New Year, but as Black Rose mentioned to me earlier, the best New Year. So the reason why I chose this is because this is a time when everybody is like, they're becoming aware of so much and it's all this knowledge that's just flowing about, but we're not caring for each other anymore. It's no compassion for each other. So I just wanted to bring that to light, because sometimes we can get so caught up into the mental part of it, of knowledge, that we forget to be compassionate to one another. You have any input on that, Black Rose? Do you get where I'm coming from? Or Delta? Hello?
Yes. Now, I don't have any input on that too much, but when you were saying like mind, body, and soul, we got to take our mind and be more concentrated, you know, and bring our mind to more awareness, more focus. Because if we focus more, we can heal the mind. And once you heal the mind, you can heal the body. Do you not know you can focus so on a certain thing that it will really help your body? If you focus negative, you killing the body. But if you take that mind and start focusing that mind on healing and focusing that mind on being perfect in that body, you can do it. And people don't realize that. If you go around with negative vibes all the time in your thoughts and in your, it's gonna go on and pass on through your body. So you got when you get up in the morning time, you got to send out good thoughts, good vibes.
Right.
People don't believe that, but that really goes a long way.
It does. The mind listens to everything that we say. It believes every word that we say. I mean, the body. The body listens to every word that we say. If we say, I feel like I'm going to die, then the body just starts to collapse, you know?
Absolutely
correct. They all work together. They all work together.
That is so good. That's a good thought. That is a good thought.
And we have to also keep in mind that everyone is at a different level of consciousness. We're not all on the same level because we've all had different experiences in our lives. So to say that, she doesn't even know, she's not conscious, so, why don't you wake up? This is not their time. It's not their path. It's not their lane, you know. When I see people on the Facebook calling other people ignorant because they're not aware of what they are aware of, that's really an what do you call it? It's going against being conscious, because when you're really, really conscious, you're not judging. You have a sense that, okay, everybody is not where I am. They're there and I'm here. And 5-10 years ago, I wasn't where I am right now. You know, so that's kind of where I got that from, what made me think of that.
Well, I know 5 years ago, I wasn't where I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mindset have changed within the last 5 years, and it changed for the better.
Mhm.
So, you know, I'm learning more and more by being around Black Rose, Miss Hattie, you, Audra, Canty, different ones, even Scotty, just listening at different things. I pay close attention and I listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning.
Yeah, we all are. That's good. Thank you, Delta.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we can go on to our topic for tonight, relationships. Black Rose, are you there? Well, we're talking about building better relationships. And so, one thing is
undrafted off.
Maybe
is Canty still on the line? Is Miss Hattie still on the line? I think people done got knocked off the line.
Oh,
no,
they're
still on the line.
I'm here, but I'm inside of a place where there's some noise, so don't ask me am I here. I'm here. But
okay.
Y'all know my situation right now.
Keep
it moving.
Okay, so for relationships, we said no more drama, cut out the mess, you know, let's get serious. It's 2016, we're just in a new phase altogether. So, some things that I came up with, and I wanted, you know, everybody's input on this. This is not not necessarily for people who are in long-term relationships, you know, like yourself, Delta Cougar, but if you're looking for a mate, do you have a list of things that are important to you? Do you have a list of things that I want them to be this way, or this is important to me? If this is not right, then I'm not really interested. For instance, and I know this is really important to you, Delta Cougar, security. Okay, is the person stable? Number two, do you have common interests? And common interests includes being able to have open communication. Because if you can't really talk to the person that you're in a relationship with, if you don't feel comfortable enough to say what's on your mind for fear that you're going to be ridiculed, or you're going to be made to feel that that's stupid, or you're going to be made to feel guilty about bringing it up. Like the lady that had the letter the other week that was a little hesitant about bringing up marriage, okay? So she'd been in a relationship for, I think she said 5 years. She'd been in the relationship for a little bit, but she was reluctant to bring up the subject of marriage to this guy that she was in a relationship with. So that's something to consider. If you're not comfortable enough to bring up something that's important to you. So number three, and if you can think of something else, Delta Cougar or Icy Hot, you know, jump in.
Yeah.
Sexual compatibility.
Now what I was going to say, you know what, when you don't have communication, That is a number one failure to me almost, because really you don't have no communication with one of, you're going to go to resenting each other, and it's going to be, it's going to cause a big strain. And you're around, you're going to walk around in the home like eggshells. So
right.
That's a big problem when you can't communicate with one of, because
that's
you,
a huge
you
problem.
Get to the place that you can't stand each other. Well, he I can't talk to him. And being, and people don't realize when you can't go to, you can't talk to your mate at the house, you better not let a guy or a woman come by and go let you pull their heart out and just give
them
to let you.
That's how many relationships break up. You find somebody else who will listen to you.
And see,
go ahead,
A man and a woman don't realize if you can just let me listen, you know, can you stop and let me listen. Could you just listen at me for 5 minutes? And then what I can't stand, now, this what I show love can't stand. A man always wants you to listen at him. But then when you try to listen at, you tell him to give you a 1 minute to listen at you, he ain't got time for it. That's just a, oh my God, I can't stomach that.
I can't either.
That make a woman just want to
explode, scream.
Because
it's bottled up inside. It's all bottled up. And like you said, it makes you start resenting the person.
It do, and you want some. And people don't realize if you can just talk it out and communicate, that will go a long way. But you got a lot of men. You got a lot of men that don't like to communicate. You got a lot of men. And it's so sad. A lot of our black men don't know how to communicate.
Yeah.
They think, they think maybe bed-wise is communicating. But you, it's more to it than just going to the bedroom.
Yeah,
we need to be able to talk about it, and see a lot of people don't—they can't sit down and talk. If you can get a person to sit down and talk and just listen, you will learn a lot from that person, and it will help your relationship a whole lot.
It'll make it a lot stronger. You may not necessarily agree with what they're saying, but you're listening and you care. Sometimes a person just wants you to just like you said, just listen to me. Just listen. Hear how I feel.
And it's a mighty poor man that can't listen. But he don't know, and a woman don't know. It can go both ways, go a man and a woman, and they don't know somebody waiting in the background to listen.
Yep.
You just give them one word, and all you got to do is tell a person, my husband don't listen, or my girlfriend don't listen.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And it starts out as a friendship. You know, oh, he's just my friend, you know. And usually just these friendship relationships, that's what they are. They are a person that you can talk to, people that you can feel comfortable expressing yourself to, and pretty soon that just talking kind of turns into something else.
You absolutely correct. And then another thing, you got to be sexually compatible. Oh my God.
Oh, that's important. Are you happy in the bedroom? Are you happy in the bedroom? Sexual compatibility, because that gets bottled up too.
Say that again.
That gets bottled up too.
Ooh, yes.
Yes, indeed. I mean,
and you got a lot of men today. When you try to talk to them about certain situation in bedroom, I don't know why men don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it.
It tampers with some of that.
Go through that moment.
The motion. Sometimes mm-hmm. they feel it's messing with their ego, because it's to them it's like, well, I'm not pleasing her, you know, and they don't want to face the fact that something different can be done. Something more is needed, you know. So
then not only top of that, you ought
to, that has to do with communication. It has to do with communication.
And let me tell you how to, can I tell you how to do this? Can I tell you how to do that?
Sure.
Some people get offended, and some people don't know how to express.
Yeah.
To say what I want done.
Yeah. They don't. They really don't. They'll fake it.
And that kills a relationship when you can't express yourself.
Right. So here's another one. Go ahead. What?
Okay. Did somebody else? I thought I heard somebody else.
What is it?
Mother Hattie, what do you think? Do you think having a relationship and you not being able to talk and being compatible, do you think that's a good part of a relationship? Do you think that kills a relationship when you're not compatible?
Oh, I don't think it kills a relationship so much, but I agree with everything all of you said. That's why I'm not chiming in and busting down the door. That is true, that communication is important, and not just black men. I think many men do not want to communicate. And it is a big problem and it's irking, like you said. I'll just repeat it. If you have one person who's not trying to communicate, can't talk to the wife about this, can't talk to the wife about that, but you always want to talk, and you're always right, it's one-sided. And that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And I agree. Yeah. That when you're in a relationship with somebody, it's important that they're being pleased on all levels. However, we know that if that happens, people stay together for various reasons. If they've been married a long time, if illness comes along, and all those kinds of things. And then at certain levels, it's not that important, you know.
But communication should always be important, though. Even when you've been together.
No, I'm not talking about communication. Not communication.
Oh, okay.
I agree. I'm talking about just the physical part of a relationship.
Oh, sexual compatibility
or something. Yeah. Some people get ill or.
Oh yeah.
Something. So it may not be the same, and you shouldn't. You know, if that's really vitally important to you, some people do leave their partner, their spouses.
But would you? I want to ask you a question.
Sure did it.
I want to ask you a question. Would you marry a man, and y'all have been dating, and you marry a man, and you know that he's not compatible with you in the bedroom?
Compatible in
what
way? I won't know that till after we get all the paperwork done.
That's not a question to ask. Icy Hot. You can
That's
ask
not
me.
My value. That's not my value.
You can
system.
Ask me. Yeah.
Okay, well, let me ask
Icy Hot won't find out until after the paper, after they see it.
Then I'll be saying, oh, man. Well, I guess I just have to deal with it.
Well,
okay.
Let me ask the question.
Okay. Audrey, will you marry a man that you have been dating and y'all become intimate and he's not up to your standard in the bedroom, but yet he's a nice person and a nice gentleman, but the bedroom skills are just horrible? Will you marry him? Or could you handle that? What would you do?
First of all, if he's a little lacking in the bedroom, because I'm a very passionate person. I'm compassionate and I'm passionate. So I am one of those persons who, like we said before, I will be willing to talk with him and help him to satisfy me. I will be willing to show him how to better please me. Now, if he's not willing, then that will let me know to step off. But if he's a good guy, like you say, you know, willing to please me and everything, then I think that I can work with him and to show him what it is that I like. And we will not get married until we reach that point that I think that, you know, I'll be happy with him in the bedroom. So that's how I feel. Because I'm not going to marry somebody, you know, now that I know what I know, just because they're a nice guy. Sorry. I can have a friend as a nice guy. Because to me, sexual energy is creative energy, and it's the best energy that's out there. It's how people use it that makes it what it is or what it could be. So I believe in making sexual energy wonderful, fantastic, fantabulous. I believe it can be all of that. So at this point in my life, I would not settle with someone who could not, who did not feel as passionate as I am, because I'm going to get somebody.
You're just hot, Asha. You're just hot.
I'm hotsy potsy. I'm hotsy potsy. Yes, hot chocolate.
I'm not having it, Asha. I'm not having it. Can't do it. Ain't gonna do it. That's still at the top of my list.
Now, I didn't say. It's not at the top. It's not at the top. We got a couple of more. Belief systems. Because belief systems can have a strong impact.
This is a bad joke, but I got to tell it. It's not in first place, but it's ahead of what's in second place.
That's cute.
Oh, that's a good one, Icy Hot.
It's ahead of what's in second place. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, because they
sure
that second head overrules everything.
Okay, so let's talk about this.
It can tell you that woman is bad for you, but you don't want to hear that. That head is calling and it's ringing.
But you know what? A guy would not, meeting me, he would not think that I was hot, because I don't come across like that. I don't come across as really passionate. They would really be surprised. It's not unleashed until we get to the bedroom. So, belief systems. What do y'all feel about belief systems? Is that important in a relationship? How does that fall on the scale? Like what you really believe in? What you believe in? What do you believe in Delta?
That's a
what's
good
important to you?
Important to me is this is me. And my number one goal is, and y'all laugh, but my number one goal is a hard worker. I believe in a hard working man.
Uh-huh.
And I believe in a very honest man. I don't want a man that I have to work and take care of. This is my belief. I don't want a man that I have to work and take care of. I want a man that I can help him. And he can help me. We can build together.
Mm-hmm.
And I want a man that I can trust. I don't want a man I got to look over my shoulder and wonder where he at. I don't want that. I want a decent man.
That comes on the trust and fidelity.
I don't want to settle for anything. Mm-hmm. There are good men out there.
Oh, yeah.
But women, you have to carry yourself a certain way, too. in order to get a good quality man.
To attract them. Good, yep.
That is correct. A good man will not, you know, will not settle for anything. Not a good man.
That's true. That's true.
And so, and my quality is an honest man, a man who loves to go to church. And see, now I like going to church. I really love going to church. And I like a man.
And see, that's important. That's very important. So if you met somebody that said, "Oh, I don't go to church. I don't ever go to church," then that would be, you know, screech, red flag, halt. It's not going to. It shouldn't be. Well, I'm gonna make them go to church. Some women do that.
They can know.
They do that.
In church now. They are tricky now. Some of them are
tricky. That's right.
Some of them will trick you. Yeah. But my goal is just a good, decent, hard, honest, working man. A man who you know, who care about himself, care about others, care about his, you know, his upbringing, his family,
mm-hmm.
and most of all, care about his mother. You know, because
you know that's a good question to ask on. That I try to do when I meet somebody. I ask them, do you have sisters? I know he's got a mom because he's here. Do you have any sisters? Are you close with your sisters? Then I ask about your mom. Is she living? Do you talk to her? You know, I don't just ask directly, but I, you know, just kind of pull it out of him, different conversations. What is your relationship with your mom? What is your relationship with your sisters? Because it's some men out there that, although they may talk to you and although they may want to get into bed with you, they do not like women. And I know some. So you can find out a lot by asking a man about the women in his family and how does he feel about them. How much respect he has for them.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely correct. And then when you have a man that don't have no respect for a woman, he don't have no respect for himself.
Mm.
And you know, that tells a lot. And then, a number one thing, if you see a man that's talking ugly to his mother and disrespectful to his mother, what do you think
Definitely.
He's going to do to you? Ooh, what do you
exactly.
think he's going to do
exactly.
to you?
That's a sign.
Hey,
that's,
I was just about to say that, Delta, is that you need to not ask him because people will lie to you. They'll tell you everything you want to hear or what they think you want to hear.
Exactly, yeah.
But
yeah, that's what I meant by I pull it out of them different ways. I don't just ask them
but,
directly.
But like she just said, listen to how he talking to or about the women in his
mm-hmm.
life, sisters, aunts, mothers, you know, listen, I think that'll tell you more, his relationship with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree totally with that. If you just kind of listen to how they reference their mother or sister, and then you can pretty much kind of tell how they're going to treat you as their mate.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. always a key. That's always a key thing for me.
She always complaining about his sister or mom, and I hate my mama or whatever. She get on my nuts.
I'm
kind of looking sideways at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
When
your letter?
Yeah, I'm ready for my letter. Come on, give it to me. Come on. Got some good hot music. Gotta get me some good drama music when I read my letter.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
I did have a tune for you, but you know, I'm not at the computer at this time, so I can't play your music.
Okay, go ahead. Give me a letter. That's okay. Thank you, Black Rose.
Okay. So, Delta, you have a letter from a young lady, and she's 32. And she is involved with this young man. They're around the same age. And she said that she knows that he has don't know why these ladies have all these men with other women. But anyway, so she said that he has another woman, and he has children with this woman. But he has asked her to have a child with him and to also go into business with him. So she wants to know, what do you think? Should she consider having a child with him? Because she says she doesn't have any children, and she wants to have children. And she says she knows that he has more than two children, but she's not sure exactly how many children. Sound like he has, like you say, there's a lot of biddies. So, what do you think that she should do, Delta? And she said, what's her name? Hopeless and need answers.
She hopeless and needs answers.
What's the question? Okay, she wants to know, should she have a child with this man? He already has some children. He already has some children, and she wants to know, should she have a child with him, because he wants her to have a child with him.
And plus, he wants her to open a business with him.
Oh.
They go into business together. Well, and she said she's hopeless and what, man? Say that again.
Hopeless and needs some answers.
She's hopeless and needs some answers, and she come to the right one tonight. You sound like a fool. Hopeless, you sound like a fool. You sound like a fool. And sometimes you got to shock them out to make them realize. You got a man that's living with somebody else, and he already got two kids with her, and you think he got kids somewhere else. You sound like a fool, and you don't have no child. Then you sound like an ignorant fool when he wants you to have a baby. Then he wants you to turn around and start a business with him, and he's living with somebody else. Are you a fool?
I was disconnected for a minute. My earpiece came out. So what did you say, Delta? Is she a fool?
I said she sounds like a fool, a puby fool. You got a man that's living with a woman.
You all right?
You got two kids with him, with this other woman. Then you says he have other kids. You're not quite sure how many he got. Then you don't have any kids. And there you go. He wants you to start a business with him. Girl, you sound like a fool. Not even a fool.
Well, you know, I need a little bit more information before I made her into a fool. I would want to know two things.
That's a Miss Hattie. That's a fool right there. Because it ain't no way that he living with somebody else. And she said he lives with somebody else. And he have two kids with that woman. Then she knows that he got other kids by other women, but she don't know how many more he got. Then she says she don't have any kids. You mean to tell me, and he wants you to start a...
She says she wants to have children. You know, some of these women, they just want a sperm donor, though, Delta. Some women don't want all the ties.
But why? But see, this is what's wrong with our community. See, we got to stop putting it all on the white man. The white man do us to a certain degree. Yes, he do. But if you already know a Negro, I'm gonna break it down so you young girls can understand it.
If you know, Delta be getting fired up about her ass.
Now, if you already know, a Negro got two kids for a woman he living with, then he untold you he got other kids somewhere. You don't know how many he got, and I guarantee you he ain't taking care of hardly none of them. And then he going to go get one with you.
Well, see, that would be my question. Then, is he taking care of those he has, number one? Number two,
Miss Hattie,
what is his educational standing, and what is his
economic standing? Does he have any? What's his assets and all of those kinds of things? That's what I would be wondering about.
He's not an Eddie Murphy. He's not an Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy got 9 kids. Spent to be 9. But Eddie Murphy can handle his business. He ain't asking no woman to help him start a business. He asking this girl who don't have no kids, sound like she got it going on, and he asking her to start a business with him. So she sound like a fool. Don't you know there's no way that I put it like this. It's no way that Delta Cuba is finna get with no man. If you don't believe me, check my record. I ain't finna get with no man that can't take care of me and keep me into a certain lifestyle. And I ain't finna get with no man that's got a baggage, a whole big old baggage. And if he got a baggage, you better believe he was taking care of his baggage. You understand what I'm saying? But these young girls today is crazy. I wouldn't be going to get no man that's already got a house full of children. And you don't have any. And then he wants you to start a business. Then when you start the business, don't let all the women start coming in and suing the business for child support. Come on now.
That's true.
Be for real. Yeah. You got all these women, you go and start a successful business, and you got all these women going to come in. And let me even break it down a little more for you, little lady, little fool. So you're a little fool, don't know no better. My brother, my sister-in-law, worked for Mobile Arm. And my brother was a contractor, a construction worker, My sister-in-law made mega bucks. Now, my brother made a nice salary, but he didn't make nothing like the wife. This lady found out that my brother married this girl, and what you think happened? My brother and his wife called hell because my sister-in-law didn't have no kids either. My brother married her, and this girl came out of the blue. Just came out of the blue. She was already getting child support. Baby, when she found out my brother married this girl, they put both of their incomes together, and baby, that girl went after them tooth and nail. So you go start a business with somebody and see what's going to happen. And you already telling us that he got 2 kids. And he ain't a decent man And why you going to take somebody's sucker? I don't want to be nobody's sucker. If I can't be number one, I'm not going to be it at all. Because that means he can't take you around in public because he already living with a woman and got 2 kids with a woman. So why would you have a baby with
him? Well, you know, if the husbands take their women to out in public, you know somebody that's living together will do that. I don't think that that's a...
Miss Hattie, a lot of men, Miss Hattie, from the letter, it sounds like he's sneaking around with her because she said, I know he got another. She says that.
Did she say that they're living together?
He's
living with them?
That is correct. So she sounds like a fool. So let me tell you one thing. You got to shock me.
Well, she could just want, she could, it depends on what she does for a living, who's got the business stuff, and your girl must not have had any sense in terms of income, because they should have gone on the boy's income, the brother's income, not all that.
Let me give another point of view, if I may. Okay. the young lady, I can't tell how old she is.
32.
She may be, okay, 32. Okay, so she's at that age where she's, you know, wanting to have a baby before she gets too old, like 35, 36, 40, whatever. She doesn't want to wait too long. Maybe she's one of these women that she really doesn't have to have the man living with her. She just wants a baby. There are some women out there who just want a baby.
And this is the problem with our community. No,
but some women can take care of their own baby. Some women can take care of their own baby. They don't need a man to take care of them.
They probably can take care of them financially, but it's nothing like a mother and father in the home rearing the child together.
Yes,
you cannot
this is
take
true.
It no other kind of way. And when you got a mother and father in the home who is trying to do right and trying to stir their kids in the right way. Now, we got some with mother and fathers in the home in Goa Strait. But I'm saying, let's don't just keep letting our community go sour with a lot of the fathers not in the home. And that's our number one thing we should be saying. It's too many fathers not in the home. And we got too many young children running wild. This man cannot be the father in a home with all these children. That means some child is going to go like him. So now let's keep it real. That's a foolish woman.
Maybe, or maybe she wants to have a child.
Yeah.
You know, other people do it one way. Some people do it through artificial insemination, and some people want to do it through the natural way. And
There are a lot of them out there doing it. I mean, some of them want to have a baby, but they can't find the right man, and they don't want to miss out on the fact of having a child because they can't find the right man. So they're willing to just have a baby and raise the baby by themselves. Now, I raised my child from when she was 8 on into adulthood. It was tough, but I think she turned out pretty good.
Miss Arger, you absolutely correct. But Miss Arger, you didn't start out on your own. You started out with a husband.
Yes.
That is what I'm saying. Let's don't change up the rules. And see, that's what I'm saying. Now, I can understand.
Rules already changed.
I know it, but
they already
changed. Isn't that what you're saying?
In the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And these people, they're not doing it like that. Some of these women, they're professional.
That's what's wrong with our
community. Yeah. Their own careers. And some of these women, not saying that I would want to do it, but some of them, they just want to have a child. They've gotten old. Their biological clock is ticking, and they're ready to have a child.
But listen, that what I'm saying is not.
They really do believe,
and they want some grandchildren.
It's nothing wrong with. It's nothing wrong with having kids. God knows it. It's nothing wrong with it. But let's do it right. I know. I have 3 sons. And I have 3 of them who hadn't done it right. Now, my first son, my first boy, he was 18 when he got his first child. He did not get any more, and he got 3 more. He got 4 more after that. And then my second boy, my oldest boy, he got married. His wife came up pregnant, and they got married. And they have 3 kids, but they wind up getting a divorce. Okay, then my baby boy, he got 2 with a girl. And this is what I'm saying. These kids do not have no father because they have gone on, and the grandmother and grandfather, like me and Papa, we have took the role and put ourselves in that role trying to stir them in the right way. But I'm just
that's
saying.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. There are some with two very good parents, done everything right. And
ooh,
they
true.
And still don't make it right. And I think
sure
the major I think the major problem with our community is number two things. People are not aware of who they are, where they come from, and what they have the capacity to do, number one.
To do.
Right. Number two, unity, lack of unity. Number three,
yeah.
No education. Number four, people just are not unconscious about economics, about all those kinds of things. To me, those are more critical. It's a great thing to have a fabulous family structure, but that doesn't
yeah.
all the time guarantee perfection. There are a lot of people that came out of single-parent homes that started out single parents, that started out in the
mm-hmm.
project, and they did
well,
fine.
Yeah.
Went through college,
but,
got an education, came out.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of, it's just, I don't think there's a real determining factor on that. I think there are a lot of factors in
it is
what happened.
Hey, can I share a story about that's related to this? That happened to me twice. If I've had two women want me to impregnate them. And one of them was on my job, and she had seen my two children from my marriage. And she told me, this was a white woman, and asked me would I get her pregnant. And she was a lesbian, but she wanted children. But she said, because my
yeah.
children were so pretty, she wanted to have a baby by me. I looked at her like she was stark out her mind. Then I had another
yeah.
one. This was a black woman who just wanted to have a baby by me. And I'm like, is you crazy? I mean, I didn't hardly even know this woman. And I'm looking
mm-hmm.
at them like, you know, what kind of man would I be to put my seed out there and then not be in his life? That just sounds absurd to
okay,
me.
Okay, Scotty, you just answered the question. Thank you.
You're welcome.
He just answered it. Now, that's what you call a decent man who don't want to go around and throw it around. Thank you, Scotty.
Well, I think that, again, there are some women, that's what they want. I'm not saying it is right, but there are some women, that's fine with them to have a man, to just impregnate them, and they have a child, and they go on about their business. Or some women are very happy being the quote unquote side piece. That's okay for them.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the person. I wouldn't necessarily say that they were stupid or, you know, anything like that. That's their prerogative. I do know some people, or rather have heard of some people, they don't want to be bothered with all of that. Some, you know, you have some of these women, they like to date married men because they say, well, I don't have to be bothered with him as much.
Or washing his clothes and fixing his food
mm-hmm.
and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They want
yeah.
him to stop by, come by, have a look, whatever.
And
it is
bye
what
bye.
It is.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You have some women like that. Now, I don't want that. I don't want a weekend father.
So you're saying a booty call. They just want a booty call.
Yeah. All the companionship.
Okay,
can
I ask the question?
They want the occasional companionship
right
without the ring.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, let me ask this question now. I'm going to ask Scotty, because he's the only man we got on the show. Scotty, what do you think about a woman who wants a booty call as a man?
What do I think about a woman who just want a booty call? I mean, without...
Your honest opinion.
Be honest.
And she just want
honest,
a booty
Scotty.
Call. That's all.
If she just called you up and said, Scotty, you want to come over here? And you know what that means.
And you've been with her before. You've been with her before.
I mean, it's different if I'm dating her or I'm in a relationship with her. I mean, that, you know, so there, it wouldn't be a booty call.
That's not a booty call if you're in a relationship with
that's not a booty call.
The two of you have not become exclusive. This is just somebody that you know.
I'm going to be very suspicious. And, to be honest with you, I'm thinking that she's trying to rope me in. That's what she's trying to do. She trying to rope me in.
So you've never gotten a booty call and went?
Or never placed a booty call?
I mean, when I was a young man, but I'm much more mature now. When I was a young man, you know, in my 20s and you know, all through my 20s, I wasn't like no male whore or nothing like that, but I mean, yeah, I had a friend, you know, or friends that, you know, what they call friends with benefits, you know, but I had a friend with benefits where, you know, it wasn't really that serious, but we were, you know, like being around each other with friends and decided to take it there. But if I had been around with them longer, you know, it probably would have turned into a relationship. And I'm talking about while I was in the military. Because, you know, in the military, you in one place for a certain bit of time, then you go somewhere else. All right. And so, yeah, you had friends like that, you know. But if anybody that I know around here just called me up and was like, you know, come over here and do this and do that, I'd be looking at them very suspicious, you know, like they trying to rope me in. Because, see, I had a friend when I was in college. And we were having intercourse and whatnot. I was always used protection. And she tried to slip it off in the middle of intercourse. Tried to slip it off. And I'm like, what the hell? What is you doing?
Usually the men do that one. Usually.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, she did. Hey, yeah. I know I had a female friend in college, by the way. That happened to her where she told me a male had poked holes in it. You know, because they figure they get you pregnant.
They will do that.
Yeah. They get you pregnant and then they got you, you know, and whatnot. So, I mean, I'm just not into that, you know, at this point in my life. As I mature, I don't do booty calls. So I don't know if I answered the question, but that's the best I can come up with.
See, that's all I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. It's real men today. Foolish men go, a foolish man will ask a woman who have already got a whole bunch of seeds out there, whole bunch of seeds that he's passing on, and go ask another woman that he's living with, and he's not willing to leave this other woman. And she's selling for him to stay there and go mess your life up and give you a baby and ain't gonna hardly be around for that baby. And let's keep it real. 9 times out of 10, when they get you pregnant, they don't be around anymore. They don't be around. And so.
Well, it just kind of depends on the economic bracket these people in. I'm gonna keep it back to that. And that's the whole thing.
What is
if she can take care of her own and she's independent, a lot of the women are doing that. And
I know,
like Scotty is saying, most of those young men will do that way. But when you get older, more mature, you will not handle your life in the same manner as you did when you grow up and get some wisdom about yourself.
Right.
At 32, the young lady, I don't know where they are economically or education wise, but I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying what I've seen and what I know about people and what they're doing now as far as this, the children and things. And I don't, it's no guarantee, single parent, true parent, whatever. Yeah, I believe, like you said, Delta Cougar, it's optimal to have both parents in the home. And that's good, but it surely doesn't guarantee anything.
No, okay, if, well, if those parents are not if those parents are not compatible and those parents are arguing, fussing, and fighting all the time, that's going to have a detrimental effect on that child also.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give a definition. When my mother and father were together, they was married for over 25 years. And my mother and father separated when I was 12 years old. They got a divorce. But when my mother was with my father, it was everything was ran by the books and like a soldier. And when my mother left my father, everything was running fancy free. Everything was running fancy free. My mother, she had got to the place, she couldn't even watch us anymore because she was too busy going with her new boyfriend. And we was running fancy free. But if my father had been in that home, everything was running. I mean,
it was on, but that's, to me, that's a balance. You know, what she stayed with. And both of them are bad.
Daddy, he didn't play it, Miss Hattie.
Both of those are bad situations. To be in a living situation with two people, you know, husband and wife, alcoholism and regimentation. Somebody's going to eventually rebel anyway. And even though it's regimented and everything is working like, you know, toy soldiers, that doesn't mean that's a healthy situation.
That's true.
And neither is that other one where it becomes totally lax. You know, it always has to, it should be a balance. And I don't think either one of those is necessarily that.
My father ran us like little soldiers. He was in the army, so he came home and we had to do like little soldiers. He'd call us our names. By our names, Calvin, Shirley, Boogie, and we'd come running down the steps, and we'd have to stand at attention, and he'd say, "What's my name?" And we'd have to call out his name. And I mean, he just treated us like soldiers. And that's when my mother and father were together, and it was hell.
What I'm saying. That's not natural to do that like that. I don't know.
I hated it. I hated it.
Well, ladies, we have come to the closing of the show. This has been great conversation as always. Anybody have any closing quick comments, and we'll go ahead on and wrap it up?
Yes, I have one quick closing comment, and it's to my young lady who wrote the letter. Please don't throw your life away.
Okay, don't throw a life away.
Don't throw it away. He ain't worth it. Not be with him. It ain't worth it.
Okay. I would, you know, and we need to maybe ask people to share more details, because I would be interested to find out if when he asked her to have a child with him, number one, is he going to leave his other woman? Okay.
Right.
Number two, are you financially capable of continuing to support her, because she's still going to need some support, and support those children, and support me also? So I would like to hear more information, because if he's willing to do that, then I would say, well, maybe you could go ahead on.
Did I give you your best?
See what would develop with this person. So, all right then. So, ladies, we'll wrap it up. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And
see us this
comments.
Sunday. Let me say one more word. Lotus Place will be on Sunday night at 9 o'clock. Join us this coming Sunday.
And send your letters to the Lotus Place Radio Show at gmail.com. And also donations for us to send water out to the people in Flint. We're asking if you could just send to that PayPal, the Lotus Place Radio Show, and I will go and buy some cases of water and drive that water to Flint, Michigan. Thank you.
How do we get the PayPal?
It's the Lotus Place Radio Show at Gmail. So you have to establish a PayPal account, and it'll go straight to there, and I'll deliver the water. I'll be here for another week or two in Detroit.
Okay.
So we'll mention it again on Sunday.
Okay, great, great, great.
All right.
Namaste, everybody.
Namaste.